Thank you for your presence. And thank you for your spirit with us. Thank you for this community. Thank you for what you are building. Lord, thank you that your word is there to train, teach, rebuke, correct, and encourage us. And I pray this morning, Lord, that there would just be an awakening in our hearts for what you want to say, Holy Spirit. I pray right now, even as we don't have to pray, come, Lord Jesus, because you're here, I pray that we would bring ourselves to where you are at this morning. Holy Spirit, do your work, I pray, in Jesus' name. Amen. So, I'm sure none of you can identify with this scenario. Annabelle, Isabel, I'm sure you guys can't at school. You've been, when I was at school and I was your age, I was one of those kids that was, you know when everybody was dividing into two teams, right? And I was like, okay, let's choose a leader. Well, I'll tell you what, I was never chosen as the leader for a start. I was never the guy that was like, okay, Russ, you pick your team, no? And then not only was that, I was always the guy that was like, am I going to be last again? It was always when it was the sporting time. I don't know why they didn't see the athlete in me. I mean, seriously. Come on, get real. A for effort, yeah. But I was often picked last. You know, you were quite happy when somebody came into your class and you knew that this guy was nerdier than you and he was going to be the last one. And you were like, finally, yes, I'm no longer the last to get picked. But you see, each of us are looking for affirmation, right? In some form or other. It's true. Inside of us, there is this eternal cavity. There's a cavity. And I don't know, through life, I know that at different stages in my life, when I was in my BC days before Christ, there were ways I tried to fill that. I remember in army, I started smoking. And this was because it was like then the cool thing to do. And there were so many things. And actually, all of it was looking to fill an internal cavity that is there. It's there from birth in all of us, in you and in me, but it's not designed to be filled by anything other than by Jesus. And you can look back in Scripture right to Adam and Eve. Right to Adam and Eve. Just think about this, guys. Right in the beginning, they had even this inbuilt thing in them, this innate desire to satisfy a thirst. And it actually was evident in something other than God in the way they responded eventually. They decided and they desired to do something in order to become something. So often we're looking to do things in order to become something because we don't see the value in who we are. Do you get that? I'm going to say it again. All of this is born out of a place of trying to do something in order to become something because you don't realize that someone has placed a very high value on you already. Think of this. They were in the place, Adam and Eve were in the place where there was absolutely no separation as we know it from a relationship with God, from His presence. You know, we've heard that saying, heaven on earth, eh? And we say it about such stupid things, you know, like, oh, I went to this restaurant and the food was like, oh, it was like heaven on earth. Absolute garbage. They were actually living in the truth of that. They were living in heaven on earth. And we wander around today thinking in this day and age, in a far from perfect world, that we can do without the continual presence of God, yet they had the continual presence of God and they were still not satisfied. Just think about that. We go through entire days, and I think if I asked you to be honest and I asked you to put up your hands, hopefully you'd be honest, and I'm not asking you to do that. But I know that I'd have to stick up my hands. There's some days where I have to acknowledge that I've been through an entire day without thinking about the presence of God with me. They try to satisfy a thirst with something other than finding their total satisfaction in God. Now, we're going through John, and I want to give you the passage, a little bit of a background to where we're at. We're at John chapter 7, verse 37 to 39, and the context of this is a feast. It's a feast called the Feast of Booths. The Jews called it Sukkot, and it was a seven-day celebratory feast with an eighth day, which on the eighth day they called the Great Day. It was the culmination of the feast. This was one of only three feasts that took place in the Jewish calendar that were called pilgrimage festivals. So these were, this was one of the pilgrimage festivals. This was one of the feasts where every single Jew, just think about this, every single Jew from everywhere across Israel had to go to the temple in Jerusalem for the feast. You didn't do it at your home. You actually, everybody migrated to the temple in Jerusalem. And one of the things that took place at this festival was that the priest would pour water and wine. He would, at the altar, stand at the altar, and there were these like silver receptacles on the altar. And he would, at one of the stages in the feast, on the great day, pour water and wine into these silver receptacles. And that symbolized the provision of God. They were looking back. They were thinking of the 40 years through the desert. And they were thinking of every time they hit a wall, literally, whether it was Jericho or whether it was no water or whether it was no food or whether it was a sea in front of them where they couldn't cross. These walls they remembered, and every time, what did they remember? That the presence of God was with them, and the provision of God came because the presence of God was with them. And the water parted, and the rock gave forth water, and manna fell from heaven, and. And so what the priest would do, he would pour this water and the wine into these receptacles on the great day, on the last day of Sukkot, remembering as the symbolic remembrance of what God had provided for them. They would reflect on the truth of this, that their satisfaction, hear this church, that their satisfaction, their thirst, had and could only be satisfied by God Himself. So it's at this point of the festival that we read these verses that we're going to read now. John chapter 7, verse 37 to 39. Have this picture in your mind. The priest has just got up. He's poured this water and wine into the altar. And Jesus stands up and it says this, verse 37. On the last day of the feast, the great day, Jesus stood up and cried out, "If anyone thirsts, let him come to me and drink. Whoever believes in me, as the scripture has said, out of his heart will flow rivers of living water." Now this he said about the Spirit, whom those who believed in him were to receive. For as yet the Spirit had not been given, because Jesus was not yet glorified. You see, we have the privilege of looking with hindsight. Don't you love that? Don't you think, imagine what the people in Jesus' time would have done to be able to look back and see what we see today. And they wouldn't have fully understood the symbolism of this yet. They were understanding that this was a symbolic thing showing the provision that God had done. They didn't realize that this was symbolic of the provision of God that was going to still come. And yet, why at this point Jesus stood up, and they would not have understood that Jesus was in this moment bringing to their understanding, and which they would only understand later, a scene on a cross. With his side, what did the Bible say? His side was pierced. You know that the Bible says that had to take place so Scripture could be fulfilled. Scripture's like this. His side would be pierced, and the Bible tells us what flowed from his side. Water and blood. Think of the water and the wine going on to the altar. Altar calls today, I don't know if you've noticed this, and I've done this, and there's truth in this, but it's not the full truth. Altar calls, when people are called into salvation, and we stand up and we invite people to give their lives to Jesus, they made with the one emphasis. The emphasis is what? You and me is the emphasis. It's about you being saved. And it's true. That is the reason why we invite people to come into relationship with Jesus. Because yes, you are called into a living relationship. You're called, and this is in the scripture. It says, if anyone thirsts, let him come to me, and whoever believes on me. So at the moment we give our lives to Jesus, there is this incredible transfer or transaction that takes place, and it does a couple of things. It brings us out of death into life. It brings us out of distance into closeness with Jesus. It brings us out of not being in relationship to being back in relationship with the Father, right? So it does have a, there is a portion of that which is about me, you and me, just for me. But we proclaim it as just that that's all it's about. It's about come to me, get to heaven, don't worry, you can avoid hell and all will be well. But that's not the full extent of the gospel, as portrayed here in this feast. As Jesus was in the feast, putting into practice, and the priests were practicing what they had been told to do, not really understanding that as they put that water and that wine and they poured it out, there was a symbolic reference to not only the cross, but to the way that we call to live our lives. You see, the truth is closer to this in John 7 passage, and this is the true truth. We are not born again just to be brought back into relationship with the Father. Can I say that again? We are not born again just to be brought back into eternal relationship with the Father. Just the same as Jesus did not die on the cross just to be resurrected so he could be back eternally in relationship with the Father. That was part of it. But the other reason he died on the cross was what? So that others could also come into relationship with the Father. Here's the big thing. And church, I want you to hear this morning. You know, I have some of the most momentous times in my life have been in meetings where I've allowed the Holy Spirit to just do what he wants to do in my life. Have you experienced those times where you've just laid your soul bare and you've just said, Lord Jesus, whatever it is, Holy Spirit, to do it. He wants us to do that. But I want you to see this very interesting thing in the scripture. If anyone thirsts, let him come to me and drink. Whoever believes in me, as the scripture has said, guess what it doesn't say? It doesn't say, and into your heart will flow rivers of living water. What does it say? Out of your heart will flow rivers of living water. Out of your heart. Now, I don't know if you've picked it up on this morning, but Craig did, Paul did, everybody that's spoken, whether it's been in prayer meeting or up front here, has focused on the heart this morning. There's been images about the heart. Yes, through Jesus' death, he was resurrected and brought back into relationship with his Father, but he died so that you and me and others could also come into relationship. And when we come to Christ, we do not die to self just to be brought back into relationship with the Father, but we die to self so that we can come back into relationship with the Father and so that others can also be brought into relationship with the Father. Church, this is not a selfish gospel. You know, if it was just the case of coming back into relationship with the Father, the minute we gave our lives to Jesus, I can guarantee you, poof, like the magic dragon, and you would be gone. Because what would be the point of hanging around? See, Jesus said, if anyone thirsts, let him come and drink. He didn't say, and whoever believes in me, as the scripture said, will live happily ever after and just be reunited to the Father. No, he said, whoever believes me, out of his heart will flow rivers of living water. So listen to the sequence of this. Listen to the sequence of events that plays out as Jesus speaks and as the people listen. Anyone, first of all, what's he say? Anyone, if anyone thirsts, if anyone thirsts, anyone tells what? Tells you what? That everyone can. Do you hear that? Anyone means that everyone can. Now, I know people talk about predestination, and I understand that. We've got to understand predestination from the point of understanding that Jesus looks back in history. He doesn't only, we look forward, Jesus looks back. So we try and understand predestination from the place of looking forward. And if you don't know what predestination means, it just means that some are chosen, some are not, some will go to heaven, some won't, and that's already preset in eternity. Well, yes, that's true, but it's still not based on that some are excluded. Jesus is no respecter of persons, church. Every single person has the ability to come to Christ today, but it's about a choice. And Jesus looks back in history and he goes, I know what choice you will make. I know what choice you'll make. And therefore, he knows who will make it. But every single person has the ability to make their own choice. Let's not get it muddled up. Let's not sit here and go, oh, well, what's the point of telling cheap people about Jesus? Because, oh, how do I know if they're predestined or not? That's garbage. Second thing he says is this. If anyone is thirsty and believes. This word is a Greek word, and it's the Greek word dipseo, and it's in the present indicative tense. If you don't know what that is, it means that it is continuing. It continues. It doesn't stop. It's the same verse that's used in Matthew, same word that's used in Matthew 5 verse 6, which says, blessed are those who hunger and thirst for righteousness. Same word. So it means we don't hunger at the point of salvation and then stop. We don't thirst until we're saved and then we stop. But it means that as that water and wine is poured onto the altar, as it goes onto that altar, it's meant to take place. It's a pouring. It's a continuing. It's not just a drip. It's not just a drop. He's saying, come and continually be thirsty for more of me. And then he does say this, let him come to me and drink. So yes, it is for you. It is for you. It is for you. We can honestly and gratefully say, thank you, Jesus, that when you tell me to be thirsty for more of your presence, for more of your spirit, that it is for me. But he doesn't stop there. Because he goes on and he says, out of your heart, what is it? Will flow rivers of living water. Rivers of living water. Out of your heart, church, listen to this. Water has to flow. Water intermingled with the blood of Jesus. You might go, oh, that's a stretch. No. There is no living water that can flow out of you that is living unless it is carried with the blood of Jesus. Do you hear what I'm saying? The picture of the side being pierced of Jesus, church, you know, that is a physiological thing, that water and blood flowed, but it was symbolic of an understanding that as his side and was pierced with that spear, there was water that flowed out together with his blood. And the same thing is over our lives today, that as we allow our heart to be pierced, there's the heart again. Out of where does it say? Out of the heart will flow rivers of living water. But you know what? And I can ask a doctor there, and I'm pretty sure that I can just discern this on myself. But if you puncture somebody's heart, something's going to flow out of it. Right? And it's not going to flow out correctly. It's going to flow out. Are we in that place where we're seeing that we call to have this heart that is willing to be pierced so that out of it can flow rivers of living water? In the physical, our bodies, guess what? And maybe you can correct me if I'm wrong there, Monia and Ant, but I don't think I am. But our bodies do not generate water by themselves. We don't eat salt and have a built-in desalination plant. Doesn't work like that. Drinking water is the only way we get water. True? And for water to be flowing out, guess what? Water has to be taken in. The promise here in Scripture that is this, that if we drink of this living water, it will flow out. It will flow out. That's the promise. It's not a maybe. It's not a perhaps. It's a promise Jesus made. It's a promise Jesus made at this festival. He reaffirmed it. He said, out of your heart will flow rivers of will. It's not out of your heart maybe or can. He said, out of your heart will flow rivers of living water. It's a promise made over us, church. If we drink of the living water, the Spirit of God, He will flow out of us and He will quench the thirst of those that are around us. So here's the truth. It's probably my sister. So here's the truth of all of this. So vividly portrayed at that festival of booths, and more so as Jesus died on the cross, the water of life can only flow if we allow our hearts to be pierced. Church, I'm going to say that again. As Jesus died on the cross, the water of life can only flow if we allow our hearts to be pierced. Don't shy away from allowing your heart to be pierced. You've heard me say this before. We're not called to be rivers. I mean, we're not called to be dams. We're called to be rivers. That's the testimony of this verse. That's this verse saying that exact thing. We are invited to be carriers of the living water and to play a part in this incredible transfer of living water from the heart of Jesus to the heart of others. We play a part in that transfer. Do you think, have you ever thought of that? Have you ever thought of the privilege of that? That actually we kept here in this world because we bear testimony to the one whose heart was pierced and whose side was pierced on the cross, and with living water flowed out, mingled with his blood, and he puts that within us, and he says, here, you come, you drink, you take of this, and as you do, allow me to pierce your heart so that the water can be transferred to others, that living water. We have to allow the Holy Spirit to fill us, church. This is not a good thing. You know, sometimes I know that there's been times where we've all been at conferences that have been, or maybe not all of us, but a lot of us have been to conferences where it's been about come and soak and get filled and all of this, and we think these are occasions. This is not meant to be occasions. They're not meant to be events. This is meant to be life. This is life. This is life and abundant life. When he says, I'll give you life and abundant life, he's saying, I will give you the ability to receive and transfer living water at any time of any day, in any way, as long as you allow me to. We're not a holding tank for the living water. We're not. There's more than enough. It's a well. It's a well that never runs dry. It's not a puddle. You know, it's not something that you're going to find in the road. And when you siphon the water out like your blooming, what do you call those drains in your house? Sump pump. We're not called to just be a sump, right? Where there's water and then we give out a bit and then, oh, it's empty. It never runs dry. It's a well. But if we don't allow our heart to be pierced, no living water will flow from a church. We cannot afford to live for ourselves. We live for Jesus. And I guess the question that he's asking us today is, are we willing to lay it all down? That's the question. The question is, are we willing to lay it all down? Are we willing to be more thirsty today than we were yesterday? Are we wanting to drink more today than we did yesterday? Are we allowing our hearts to be broken more for today, broken for the lost more today than we were yesterday? Because the only way more living water flows is if we welcome him to do that work in our lives. And church, I love the fact that God wants to do things in our own lives. That's why he said, come and drink. Come and drink. I love it. But let's not get caught in a worldly concept of what he does and why he pours out in us. A worldly concept is just that it's for me, and if I feel good and I'm filled and I'm refreshed and it's all good. That is not God's heart. This church is not established so that that is the case. This church is established so that there can be wells of life in chairs. And those wells, unbelievably slow. This is miraculous. You know, when you go to a well outside in the countryside, nobody can come and pick that well up and move it to a place where there's drought and put it down. That well is there because that's where the source of water is. Guess what? When you stand up from this chair, the well moves with you because the source is in you. And yet we tend to hide the bucket. We tend to let the bucket stay at the bottom of the well. We tend to stand and go about our businesses not realizing that there's people gasping for water around us. And I'm one of those. I'm not pointing fingers. I'm saying that for what God has called us, for the season he's called us in, this scripture is very pertinent, church, and he's calling us to drink so that we can transfer living water to others. Can I ask you to stand with me? We're going to do just that this morning. And I want to ask you, church, this has been a no fun fanfare message. And I'm sorry if you feel it's very basic, but I feel like God is saying to us this morning, this is time for drinking, it's drinking.